good evening. It's good to be back with you. Good to have you back with us. Certainly enjoyed this morning having our friends from the San Marcos, Texas area, which is near Austin. I spoke with Brother Andy Baker, which is hard for me to think about, but I spoke with him this morning in my driveway, and he said it was truly a blessing to them to come this far. They're about 15 hours from home this morning, to come this far and to meet people that had nothing in common except for the bond of Christ, and that we were there when they got here. It was about 11:30 at night. We opened our homes, and they were just truly blessed, and they were very grateful to us for housing them. We were glad to have them with us, and we were glad for the good meal we had this afternoon. They will be back with us a week from tonight. On their way back, they'll stay with us again Sunday night and then head out on Monday morning, and we look forward to seeing them again. This congregation is to be commended for a number of reasons. That is one of them, that we're a generous congregation. We're a generous group of people. We open our homes. We're hospitable. And we need to be commended for that. That's something that God commands, that we be hospitable as Christians, and I think that it's worthy of notice when we do what we need to do, that we be commended for it. I also have mentioned before how proud I am to be a member of a congregation where so many men are willing to stand up and do what needs to be done. I appreciate Brother Reed for standing up and leading our singing tonight. That's something that he is better at than he thinks he is. I'll put it that way. And it's good to have him stand up and do that. Another couple, and this, I apologize, I don't get this opportunity very often, and I tend to take advantage of it when I'm up here, but another two men I want to mention. I want to thank Brother Johnny for all that he does month in and month out to put together the worksheet and make sure that all of the responsibilities are covered. That's a responsibility that he takes on, and we appreciate him for it. Also want to call out Brother Doug for all that he does in maintaining the building and making sure that the facilities are up to date and everything that we need is provided, and we appreciate that. I want to mention those two men. Not to leave anyone out, but those two need special mention. James chapter 1, verse 27. This is a verse we're all familiar with. But if you'll turn there and read with me. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. We reference that verse a lot, and we use it, at least in my experience, we use it typically in support of the efforts of the church to support widows and orphans and orphanages and to support those in need. And that is a good and right use of this verse. But in my experience, we focus a lot more on the first part of this verse than we do the second part. To keep oneself unspotted from the world. Spiritual purity is something about which especially the New Testament writers spend a great deal of time emphasizing the importance of. Remaining spiritually pure. And in general, we recognize this and we impart this to our children. We teach them a little song. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Little ears, what you hear. Little feet, where you go. To stress the importance of spiritual purity and of making good decisions as we go through our lives. But as with many things, I fear that sometimes we teach that to our children and we learn that as children and we have a tendency to kind of step back from that later on in life and not really go back to that and remember it and look at it fresh through our current station in life and think, how can these things apply to me at this point? Now, I'm not accusing anybody of anything. Please don't take me that way. I promise you I'm speaking as much to myself as anyone in this audience this morning. Let's get that established. But it's important that we realize how much Scripture emphasizes spiritual purity and remaining unspotted from the world. I'm sure you've heard the illustration, or at least I have many times, about the frog and the hot plate. I have been told, I have never tried this, but I have been told that if you take a frog and you put him on a hot plate, he'll jump off. But if you take that same frog and you set him on a cool plate and you set it on the stove and you very slowly raise the temperature, that frog will cook before it jumps off. He never notices that the temperature is going up when it goes up slowly and gradually. Now, if you put him on that hot plate, he knows there's danger, this is not good, he jumps off, he's out of there. But he gets comfortable on that cool plate and never realizes that the temperature is going up and up and up. And the point that that's illustrating is that we have a tendency to get comfortable in our station. And as we get comfortable, it's possible for us to ignore things that are changing slowly and gradually. And if we're not careful, eventually we may look up and we're not in a safe place anymore. As a mechanic, I've heard many times you need to have somebody else drive your car about once a month or so. Because you may never notice that the brakes are getting scary bad. And you may never notice that the shocks are completely worn out because you drive it every day. But somebody else gets in and says, whoa, you need to have this looked at. That slow, gradual process is Satan's subtlety. And the way that he can worm his way in slowly and gradually and change things. And we get comfortable with this, and then maybe a little thing, and a little thing, and a little thing, and before long, we're no longer in a safe place. So I thought we'd go back to our little song tonight and look at being careful of the images we put in our eyes, the images that we allow into our mind, the things that we listen to, and the places that we go. As I learned the song, it starts, "Be careful, little eyes, what you see." I've been told that when the movie Gone with the Wind was first released, that there was an enormous uproar, and that many cities and some even counties banned the movie for the single curse word that it very famously contains. I must admit, I'm a little encouraged that anybody could get that passionate about defending themselves against that sort of thing. On the other hand, if you go home tonight and you turn on the television, you'll hear things that would put that movie to shame, and you'll see things that the producers of that movie would never even think about committing to film, and that's just the commercials. I looked up some statistics, and what I found is based about 2007. That in the average household, the television is on 6 hours and 47 minutes a day. The average American youth spends about 900 hours a year in school and about 1,500 hours a year watching television. And that by the time the average child has graduated from elementary school, he's seen over 8,000 murders. Those are scary numbers. Now remember, I'm talking to myself here too. My television stays on a lot more than it probably ought to. I'm certainly not speaking from a point of view that I have achieved any of this. I think, and I want to also emphasize that not all television is bad. Television itself is a thing. is not inherently good or bad. We here at this congregation, I can't promise that we do at this point, but we at least have in the past, supported preaching the gospel over the television. And it is a great way to reach those who are unable to get out. And those works should be supported, and those methods of reaching people should be encouraged. But you and I live in the real world too, and we know what comes across that TV. And the point of this discussion, this study, is not to accuse anyone, but merely to make us aware of what's going on and to prompt us to think about how we're spending our time. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 in the King James refers to the church, the people of God, as a peculiar people, a different people. We should distinguish ourselves from the world by the things that we do, by the actions that we don't take, as well as the actions that we do. Think about this, too. I've been told, and I haven't measured it, but I've been told that if you spend 15 minutes a day reading Scripture, you can read through the Bible in less than a year. I wonder how many people can't find time for Bible study, but seem to have no trouble fitting in a 30-minute television show every day. Something to think about. How are we spending our time? Be careful, little eyes, what you see. It's not limited to television, though, obviously. We mentioned Gone with the Wind. That's a movie, obviously. And as many of you know, I'm as guilty of this as any. I have quite a large movie library, and I can't, again, say that they're all bad. I've got several that I could recommend as having lots of redeeming qualities. I've also got some that I might not want to share. I might find something in there that I like, that I want to see, but a lot of the context, I kind of want to skip through a whole bunch of this and just see this part. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Protect yourself from images. Be aware of what you're letting into your mind. As I remember the song, the next verse is, "Be careful, little ears, what you hear." I was thinking about this one, and it occurred to me that silence is something in today's world that's a lot more rare than it used to be. I'm woken up in the morning by a radio station, and I turn that off and go take my shower, and I get in my car, and I turn on my little MP3 player, and I listen to who knows what on the way to work, and I get there, and I put on my headphones, and I'm listening to music while I'm working on the computer. And I get in the car to go to lunch, and I'm listening to the radio, and I'm listening to the radio on the way home. There's music playing in the restaurant. Earphones are back on at work, and I'm listening to something the whole way home. And when I come home, well, I have kids. Silence is not something I'm going to find at home, usually. I thought about 1 Kings 19. Verse 12, where Elisha is searching for the voice of God. And he looks in the whirlwind, and God is not there. And he looks in the fire, and God is not there. But a still, small voice remained. Elisha had to stop and listen and allow some silence in his life to hear that. If you ever want to try this as an experiment, just sometime when you're alone, turn everything off and see how long you can just sit in silence. We're so used to the noise and the radio and the TV and whatever it might be that it makes us uncomfortable to have quiet. But some quiet time spent meditating Wow, there's a word. Spent thinking about God's will and what He wants from us would do us all a great deal of good. Now, I want to say something, too. On October 13th, as I could find out, 2001, at the Apple Computer Company released something called the iPod. And many of you know what that is. Some of you may not be familiar with it. It's a digital music player. It's a small device that you can hook to your computer and you can load songs onto it and you put on your headphones and you can take it with you and you can play those and you can change them in and out. And ever since then, it seems you can't go anywhere, regardless of the situation, without seeing somebody with a little wire going up to their ear. We were in a restaurant last night and they're sitting there eating, someone with a little wire up to their ear. And they were there with their family, but they were listening to something else. Now, of course, once again, an iPod, a digital music device, is not inherently good or bad. As a matter of fact, an iPod can do a great deal of good. A digital music device, whatever we want to call it. The sermons preached from this pulpit and many others are available and can be put on these and listened to, and you can get a great deal of encouragement and instruction. I know Brother Steve uses it to listen and learn new songs that he comes and brings to us and we learn together, and I think that's a great thing. But even then, we need to take some time to think about those things that we're hearing. Because in the same way that many things that are good are available to listen to, there's a lot of stuff out there that I don't even want to know it's available. Some of it's really bad. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Protect yourself. Be aware of what you're listening to. And be careful, little feet, where you go. I was thinking about this one, and I was trying to decide how to approach it, and it occurred to me that we can list off a couple of places that we should go and a couple of places that we should not go. We should go where God can use us. And if we think about that, that might involve going some places where we're not entirely comfortable, where we're not sure exactly how to act. But if we go where God can use us, if we go where God needs us to reach out to the people that need Him, then we're truly serving Him. You think about where Jesus went. The religious elite of His day said, He associates with sinners and tax collectors. He goes to where they congregate. He went where people needed Him. He went where God could use Him. We should go where God is. Jesus said, where one or two of you are gathered, where one or two of you are gathered together, there I am also. And we're told to not forsake the assembly of the saints together. We should go where God is. We should not go where our influence would be compromised. And I want to make the distinction here. Our influence, not our reputation. What's the difference? Well, the difference is I may not want to go somewhere because somebody might see me and think less of me. That's different from I might not want to go somewhere where I would be seen associating with people and doing things and associating with activities that would destroy my influence among others. There is a difference. There is a distinction. We should not go where our influence would be compromised. And as we look at Jonah, we should not go away from God. And of course, we could spend another hour on Jonah. And I believe we have in the past. We know that to run away from God is not effective anyway. But we should not go away from God. Be careful, little eyes, what you see, little ears, what you hear, and little feet, where you go. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We talked this morning about seeking first the kingdom of heaven. Love not the world. Don't let the world in. Be careful. Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And James chapter 4 and verse 4 in part says, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Be careful what you see, what you listen to, where you go, the environment you surround yourself with. Because it matters. Going back to James 1:27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Be careful the environment you surround yourself with. If you find tonight that your environment has torn you down, that has kept you from a faithful observance of God's law, God has allowed for that. And He invites you and begs and pleads with you to come and to return to Him. And if you've never been to that place where He is the first and most important thing in your life, once again, to approach that is not complicated, not difficult. Having heard, to believe. Believe that He is. Believe that He is the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Turn from them. To begin to be careful about what you see, what you hear, and where you go. To confess His name before men, both verbally and by your life. To submit to baptism. And to live faithfully, continuing to be careful what you see, what you hear, and where you go. If you have any need, please come and let us help you as we stand and sing.